Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Amen. I'm glad you're here today. If you have a Bible, why don't you take it and open it and turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 is going to be on page 916 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. If you don't have a Bible of your own, come see me when we're finished this morning, and I'll make sure that you have one to take with you. We're going to be looking at an incredible story in Acts chapter 8 in a few minutes. If you are new to Arapahoe Road, my name's David. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor here. I'd love the opportunity to meet you and greet you and put a name and a face before you leave this morning. If you were here last week, we started a series called Breakthrough, and I invited you to do some participation with me. We want to get our lungs involved here, and so I'm going to ask you to repeat some phrases after me. How many of you were here last week? Just out of curiosity, several of you. If you weren't here, you're going to get caught up really, really quickly, and I invited everybody to do this last week. Let's do this again this week. Why don't you repeat after me? I believe God wants me to experience a breakthrough. Not too bad. Let's try it again. I believe God wants me to experience a breakthrough. All right. We're doing well, doing a good job here. Let's say that as a declaration all together on three. 1, 2, 3. I believe God wants me to experience a breakthrough. I said this last week to you. I'll say it again today. I really do believe that statement. That declaration that we made. I believe God wants me in my life. I believe God wants you in your life. And I believe God wants our church family to experience breakthrough in 2019. And there's all kinds of areas that we talked about last week. Maybe some areas that are coming back into your mind, spheres in your life where you're going, yeah, man, I could really use a breakthrough here. Or, man, when I think about breakthrough and kind of getting some traction and moving forward, yeah, this area of life or that area of life or in my family, this area. Maybe it's in your marriage or in your job or the way that you're parenting or not parenting, and you need some breakthrough there. Or maybe it's something financially or relationships in your job or in your neighborhood that you could use some breakthrough. You would welcome a breakthrough in those different areas of your life. Lots of places that we could identify and put on a board and look at and go, yeah, man, I would love there to be breakthrough in this area in my life or in my family's life or wherever you might begin to have your thoughts gravitate toward. And at the same time, I really do believe that God desires for a breakthrough to come forth in this church in 2019. God wants us to continue being about growing strong families. That's one of our initiatives, one of our goals around this place. If you've been here very long, you've heard us say that. You've heard us talk about that. There's all kinds of resources to help you grow strong in your family. Right out through those doors in the Home Life Center, those resources are for you to take and to use to grow strong in your family. We believe that faith doesn't start at church. Faith starts at home. But man, we want to come alongside you as a church family. And we want to grow strong as a church family. We want the Lord to help us break through as a church family in 2019. And as we talked about last week, we said, if you and I and this church truly, truly want to experience breakthrough, like God wants us to experience breakthrough, then we've got to not only realize something, but we've got to begin to appropriate something in our life. And this is what we said we have to realize and begin to do. We have to realize that our breakthrough will come as we live life God's way. Would you make this declaration, taking an outline? Note with me, our breakthrough will come as we live life God's way. You might want to take a picture of that or jot that down and think about that this week, because some of you, as you read that, as you say that, as you kind of wrap your mind around that, you're beginning to ask the question, okay, well, what exactly is God's way? And as we talked a little bit last week, we believe that God's way for our lives are the things that we say week in and week out around here. We've kind of tried to put them into some bite-sized phrases to remind us what it looks like, what it sounds like to live life and do life God's way. And we say things like, we're Arapahoe Road, we're in community and on mission. That means we follow Jesus, love your neighbor, bless the city, and make disciples. And as we've said, these words not only help articulate the purpose for this church, but also they're meant to be descriptors of our lives that are being lived out God's way. And when we live out these descriptors with great intentionality, we will see a breakthrough begin to happen in our lives like never before. We talked about how last week Jesus responded to a man who asked a great breakthrough question about what the most important commandment was. And Jesus comes back and gives him a two-part answer. He says, man, the greatest commandment is to love God, and the second is like it, love others. Love God and love others. So when it comes to loving God and loving others in community, we want to think about the two beams of the cross as kind of a symbolic expression to help remind us, okay, there's two different axes here. There's two different components that we want to live life in community. There's a vertical component, and there's a horizontal component, a vertical beam and a horizontal beam. As we said last week, the vertical beam reminds us that we have been created to live in community with God the Father through a relationship in Jesus the Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God and guided by the Word of God. That is a vertical community, a vertical relationship, loving God vertically, the God who first loved us. So we're loving God back when we are living in community vertically. Now, this horizontal beam of the cross, that reminds us that we were created to live in community with other people. Remember, love God and love others. Love God and love others. There you go. You're with me. Love God, love others. So when we say and when we proclaim, hey, we're Arapahoe Road, we're in community, I want you to have in your mind, that means there's a vertical community with God and there's a horizontal community with other people. We're talking about other people mattering to God, and so other people need to matter to us. And we talked about last week how important it is for every person at Arapahoe Road to be connected in what we call a life group. If you've got a little bit of church background in your life, maybe you've heard of Sunday school. We call our Sunday school around here life groups because who wants to go to school all their life? I'd rather do life group with people the rest of their life, but I don't want to go to class the rest of my life. I don't want to go to school the rest of my life. So we call our Sunday school life group. And we just really believe that being committed to a life group is going to be huge when it comes to positioning yourself to having a breakthrough kind of year. And if you need help getting connected to a life group, or you just need to ask some questions and find out, man, I don't really know where the right place for me would be. They meet at 9:30, right before this hour. I don't really know the layout of the campus. Man, let me help you. Let me make it real easy for you. That little connect card that's in front of you, if you would like some help getting pointed in the right direction, or you have some questions about being connected to a life group, would you just fill that out? And in the area on the back, just put life group, and I personally will connect with you and help you take that next step, because what I'm praying for you and for me is that we both will have a breakthrough when it comes to living in community, not only vertically, but also horizontally. So that's a recap from last week on what it means to live life in community. Let's really shift our focus this morning on that second phrase that we talk about. We say we're Arapahoe Road, we're in community, and on mission. Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's wrap our head and heart around what does it mean when we say that we want to live life as people who are living on mission. Again, think of the cross. Think of the two beams of the cross. There's a vertical component to living on mission, and there's a horizontal component to living on mission. So when we're talking about living on mission, we are saying we aspire to be people that God always desired and has designed us to be, a people living on mission, accomplishing the purpose of becoming who He wants us to be. That's a vertical component as we are seeking to be followers of Jesus. Now that vertical component, if we will begin to live on mission, there's a breakthrough coming. And that means you and I are going to be growing. We're going to be getting out of our comfort zone, living on mission. And we'll talk about that from God's Word here in just a second. But there is also a horizontal component when we talk about living on mission. And that horizontal component is you and I are still here on planet Earth instead of in God's presence after we put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, because He wants to use you. He wants to use me horizontally to connect with other people who are still awaiting their breakthrough moment. He wants you and me to be a part of the work that He's already doing. And He's inviting you and me to step into that work, step into those divinely orchestrated moments, those divine encounters, divine appointments, and be used to help point somebody else toward Jesus. That's part of what it means to live on mission horizontally. When I read God's Word, when I read the Bible, I see some things that just leap off the pages at me. And one of the things that I see is that God is always at work. God's always at work. Jesus said these words in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 17. He said, "My Father is working until now, and I'm working." I'm working. That is a critical component to build a foundation upon living life on mission that we're talking about today. That means you and I don't have to create something. We just get to find out where God's at work and join Him in it. If you and I are going to live lives on mission, we must find out where God is at work and join Him. A great Bible teacher named Henry Blackaby articulated that principle in an incredible study called Experiencing God. I took it back when I was in college, and I've never forgotten that. And I live my life trying to understand, God, where are you at work so that I can join you on mission? Our breakthrough in living on mission will happen when we make ourselves available every day to be used by God to step into divine encounters rather than step out of them. Take a deep breath with me for a second. Because, man, we went out of the harbor fast, didn't we? And you can't miss this. If you don't hear anything else that I say today, I want you to lock into this next statement, this next slide that's going to be on the screen. It's a long slide. It's a long sentence. So love God with all your mind. Clue in here. You might want to take a picture of this one, too. Let me walk through it and talk through it and make sure we understand it, because it is incredibly critical for our breakthrough as a church to hear and absorb what we're talking about in this next statement. You ready?
Yes.
Let's try that again. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Our breakthrough corporately as a church of living on mission will happen when we make ourselves as individuals available to God every day and step into divine encounters rather than step out of them. It's a long sentence, right? Yeah. Like, could you break that up? I tried to, but the more I tried to, the more I'm like, no, that just is good. There's a lot there. But when you slow it down, it really does make sense. Let me just make sure that we all understand it, because if we miss this, we may miss our breakthrough as a church in 2019. What that slide is saying is this: as individual people, that's me as David, that's you as Fred, that's you as Mike, and you as Don, and you, whatever your name is, that's me, that's you. As individual people, if we as individuals will be faithful, not just on Sunday, but every day. Every day, Monday through Sunday. If we will make ourselves as individuals every single day, if we will be faithful every single day to seek out, God, where are you at work around me? And we then will commit to join God in that work. Then the consequences corporately, when we're all doing that individually, the consequences for that corporately as the church of God, the church is not a building, the church is the people who meet together, sometimes in a building. But if we as individuals are finding out where God is at work and we're stepping into those divine appointments, corporately what will begin to happen is the church known as Arapahoe Road Baptist Church will experience a breakthrough unlike we have ever seen before. That's what that slide, that long sentence means. In a moment, I'm going to share a story with you about somebody sitting in this room today who's given me permission to share his breakthrough story with all of us. And it really lines up with the principles that we see right out of the pages of the Bible. So let's invest the next few minutes looking at a story from Acts chapter 8 and notice the principles that are explained and articulated in the life of a couple of people, one who's living on mission and one who's about to experience a breakthrough because somebody chose to be available. So let's look at this together. It's going to be an incredible, incredible insight for you as it has been for me. Let's read this story together in Acts chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 26. We'll read 12 verses together, and then we'll go back through and start making some connections of how this first century story connects with our 21st century life. Okay? Let's look in Acts chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 26. It says this: "Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I understand? How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him." Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? for his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? Is it about himself or about someone else? Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, let's connect this first century story of living on mission with a 21st century life that you and I are trying to live in a way that follows Jesus and loves our neighbor and blesses the city and makes disciples. How do these two connect? Look again at verse 26. Let me just make some observations and quickly walk back through this story together. Okay, in verse 26, it starts off. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, what did he say? Rise and go. There's God inviting someone into a work that he's already doing. There's the alarm clock. Anybody have an angel of the Lord wake you up this morning? Rise and go to Arapaho Road. No. You probably had the same wake-up call that I did. Oh, that's a bummer when your notes fall down. You probably had the same kind of wake-up call that I did. Your alarm goes off. How many of you use an alarm that's a phone? How many of you have an actual clock? Because you want to hit something. Bam! This costs too much to really hit. When your alarm clock goes off, that's your call to a day to live on mission. That's God's way of saying, rise and go, rise and go, rise and go. So whether you've got an angel of the Lord saying, rise and go, by the way, if that happens, come talk to me. I'm interested. But if you're just like me, and it's just, rise and go, rise and go, rise and go. We're being called when we awaken in the morning to rise and go and live a life that is on mission. So he says here in verse 26, rise and go, rise and go, rise and go. Where? Toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is what kind of place? It's a desert place. Can I just share something with you that I think is going to be true for my life and probably for yours too? When it comes to breakthrough and experiencing breakthrough and helping somebody else experiencing breakthrough, breakthroughs normally don't happen in luxury and comfort. They tend to happen in the desert places of our lives. When we're going through the dry and arid seasons, the parched seasons. And I believe God is calling you and will call you and me to rise and go from out of our comfort zones into some places that may not at first glance look or feel comfortable. They may look and feel like a desert, a place we may normally not really want to go step into. We may rather step out of a desert place. And God's saying, no, step into that. Don't step out of a divine encounter. Step into the divine encounter. Step into it. Look at verse 27 to 29. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. For my artists in the room, draw me a picture of what you think that chariot looked like. We don't have a whole lot of chariots riding around outside these days. What do you think it looked like? A chariot is just a little box, that kind of a little wagon with wheels that's attached to a horse that you can ride behind. What do you think that looked like? A chariot. Draw me a picture of that. Let me see what it looks like when we're finished this morning. See, you never know who it is that you're going to encounter when you live life on mission. Now, granted, as we just kind of were alluding to, the chances are probably pretty slim that you're going to cross paths this week, not only with an Ethiopian government official, but one who's riding around in a chariot. You may cross paths with an Ethiopian person, because there's all kinds of races and ethnicities and cultures that live all around us, which is awesome. But one riding in a chariot, maybe not there. Maybe not. But you know what? You may cross paths with a divine encounter with your Uber driver, taking you to whatever destination you're paying to go to. Or maybe it's a divine encounter with a barista at Starbucks that you go into. Maybe it's a divine encounter with the maintenance person who lives and works in your apartment complex. Maybe you're going to Walmart because it's Sunday and that's when you can get your stuff done, and you haven't yet learned the glory of online, where you can just pull up. But even as you're pulling up, somebody's got to bring it what? Out. It's not a robot yet. What if that encounter at your window or in the line, and there's a single mom behind you who you can just tell, it's been a long weekend and a big week's coming up. Because you can just look at people and just go, not living your best life right now, are you? And maybe God puts you in that line to have a chariot cross your path, to step into a moment where God already is at work. And you weren't thinking about that. You're just trying to get in and get out. And God's going, don't miss this. Don't miss this. I'm about to create a divine encounter for you. And then you have the opportunity to step into it or step out of it. Look what Philip did. Go over and join this chariot. Look at verse 30. So Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he asked, do you understand what you're reading? You know what I love about people living on mission? They don't procrastinate. They don't procrastinate. When they believe God is moving them toward identifying where He's at work, they step into it with immediate obedience. They're not fully sure what they're about to step into, but they move toward it, trusting that God has been at work and He's going to allow you to see your part of this work if you'll trust Him. Rather than analyzing and going, well, they're probably just trying to get home too. You don't know that. You don't know that. You do not know that. People living on mission, there's no procrastination, immediate obedience. And they step into that moment and they begin to listen and try to hear what's going on. They listen and they do assess and they engage by asking questions so that they can know how I might be helpful in this moment. That's you and your Uber driver. That's you and the barista at Starbucks. That's you crossing paths with the maintenance person at your apartment complex. That's you and the frustrated woman behind you in line at Walmart. And stepping into a divine encounter, a divine moment, may just start by engaging that person with a question, engaging in conversation. I know what you're thinking. What do I say? I'm an introvert. Me too. Me too. By the time I finish Sunday morning, I just want to go crumple up in my chair from being around all you people. I'm just teasing. I love you. I do want to crumple up in my chair, though. But I'm not just here to crumple up in my chair. I'm here to live on mission. And so what might I say to that mom in line behind me? Because I'm usually the one that goes and gets the thing that we forgot to order on the online. There's always that one other thing. And so I go in and I get it, and maybe I just kind of notice, boy, I can see it in your face, and it's just, man, it's kind of a crazy time of year, isn't it? Yeah. I'm David. I'm going to drive away from here in a minute, because what's been helping me in this crazy time of year is just praying. And I don't know if there's something I could pray for you about, I'd love the opportunity to do that. And that person may go, nope, you weird bearded man. Okay, I've been called worse. Or that person may go, you have no idea. You have no idea. You know why? Because I have no idea. But that person knows. And you know what? I'm just crazy enough to think might be true, that Jesus meant what he said. And he said, my Father's always at work, and I too am working. What if I gave him the benefit of the doubt to be working in this person's life? And maybe she breathed the prayer before going in there like, God, if you're there, give me a sign. Well, here's a balding, bearded man asking me if I can pray. Here's your sign. See, God's at work all around us. And I can choose to step into the moment or step out of the moment. Engage the person or disengage. Put myself out there to live on mission or just hide in my headphones. And you know what? There's a lot of days I'm going to hide in my headphones. But what if I didn't always hide in my headphones? What if I made myself available and that person begins to open up and listen? I'm listening to them, and maybe there's a way I can respond. You know, maybe that person's going, yeah, man, I've become a foster parent. I don't even know what I'm doing, and I just got a call, and I'm trying to get. And I said, oh, well, I happen to know a church that's got a whole foster and adoption resource closet. We'll give it anything you want. Wow, you'd do that? Sure. What Philip did with this Ethiopian man, he just asked the question, do you understand what you're reading? Look at verse 31. He said, how can I unless somebody guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. You see, when God's at work in somebody else's life, you don't have to create the opportunity. You just have to be available to step into it. That takes all the pressure off. Now it's just about immediate obedience, right? Yeah. You can either step into it or step out of it. But this is a divine encounter. And you go, man, how can I know if it's a divine encounter or just an encounter? Great question. Here's how you can tell. If the person that you are crossing paths with has been created in the image of God, then it's a divine encounter. You got what? Yeah, because God says in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, male and female, he created them. I created them in my image. In my image. That's a divine image that he's inviting you to encounter on his behalf that just may lead to their breakthrough. Them saying, nope, not interested, may just be the first link in a chain that's going to have about 7 more conversations before God goes, now. And you may not ever know about it. You may just think you're getting rejected. You're not getting rejected. You're just the first connection. And God's going, 6 more to go. Thanks for being the first. Look at 32 and 33. They read this passage from Isaiah together, and then they continue their conversation, verse 34. And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Look at verse 35. Underline this. Then Philip opened his mouth. He opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Friends, at some point, you and I are going to have to open our mouths and tell someone. That's why I'm leading with George Butler and Dan Lyles. We're co-teaching together on Wednesday nights at 6:45, a 6-week study called Tell Someone, just to help us get handles on how to step into divine encounters. Come join us. If not that class, then one of our other Wednesday night classes that are equipping you to become the person God desires for you to be as you live not only in community but also on mission. We got to open our mouths and tell people the reason for the hope that we have in this world. And yes, we want to serve people at their point of need. And we do that very well here at Arapahoe Road. And we're going to keep doing that. And yes, we bless people through some great partnerships that God has allowed us to foster and enjoy. And we're going to keep doing that at Arapahoe Road. But there is no substitute for taking personal responsibility and a little bit of personal risk as followers of Jesus and opening our mouths and telling people about our Savior. And pointing people to Him in a very natural way. Helping people experience breakthrough in their lives as we help shed some light on their situations where they may need to be able to see clearly how God is working in their life. Philip stepped in to the divine encounter. He joined God in the work that God was already up to in this Ethiopian man's life. Philip was living on mission because he was just available to do it. And God used Philip to help this man have a breakthrough. Philip was joining God in the work that he was already doing in this Ethiopian man's life. And God was going to get great glory, and this Ethiopian man was going to get salvation. Two men, two different races. A black-skinned Ethiopian man and a light-skinned Jewish man. We're going to conclude our breakthrough series next week on MLK Weekend by talking about one issue in our society that we all need breakthrough on, racism and racial tensions. And God's been working in my life and Dawn Baker's life as our artist in resident. She's been the artist in resident at Gettysburg this past season. There's a young African-American lady from DTS who's going to come and share some perspectives. It's going to be a rich time that we need breakthrough if we're going to be the church God desires for Arapahoe Road to be. Be here. It's going to be a rich morning. I cannot wait. That's next week. What about today? What about your friend that you mentioned a moment ago? Yeah, it's my friend Robert. Robert and I are buddies. I love how God's been at work in Robert's life, and he told me, absolutely share. I got nothing to hide. Please share. And so last February, Robert was going through a very difficult and painful season in his life. And he ends up moving into the Equinox Apartments just around the block from the church. The Equinox Apartments are where Dan and Lori Lyles and their family moved into last year as living on mission, as a cares team in that apartment complex to just set up camp there and live there among the residents of the Equinox Apartment. Because there's a financial end of things for the apartment complex. If you feel like you're living in community, you're much more likely to re-sign your lease. That's good if you're owning the apartments to not have any empty apartments. And so they're like, absolutely do this. Build community. Can we share our faith? Absolutely. I don't care. So they're like, great. So they're living on mission. And one of the things that Dan and Lori do as the CARES team couple that live there is when somebody new signs a lease and moves into the apartment, they just go and greet them. They make an appointment to go and welcome them. Give them a little loaf of bread and just say, hey, we're Dan and Lori. We're here if you need anything to help you get connected. And if you need some help in the community, knowing where to go, we're here to be a resource for you. And on the day that they made that appointment with Robert, he was at his low. And they introduced themselves and ended up, you know, hey, man, is there something we can be praying for you about? Absolutely. And he just shared with them. So they prayed. And that was last February. And then throughout the year, they would just kind of cross paths. And, hey, you know, how you doing? Okay. And, hey, I'm a part of the church just around the corner. If you'd ever like to come with us, we'd love for you to be our guest. And, okay, and, you know, whatever. And over the course of the year, as God's been at work in Robert's life, he and a lady that he met, and they began to form a friendship. They said, hey, let's go to church around the corner. And they were here for the last sermon in my Sermon on the Mount series, right around Thanksgiving time. And they came back the next week. And then they filled out a little connect card. It was the first Sunday of Advent at Christmas. He said, man, I got some questions. I'm interested. And if you fill that little connect card out, I follow up with you. And so I called Robert. And he said, man, I just got some questions and want to talk with you. And, you know, my friend Tammy might like to come too. And great. Let's meet my office. Great. So they met with me on December the 9th, Sunday, December the 9th. They came back to church that morning. We met in my office and had a great conversation. I said, hey, I've got to have a hard stop at 10:20 this morning because I'm about to go help a group of people be baptized. Have you ever seen anybody be baptized? Robert goes, no. I said, would you like to come? Sure. And I talked him through what it meant to be baptized and why we do that. And just talked to him about the significance, the meaning of it, shared the gospel with it. And when Jesus died on the cross and they took his body off the cross, they laid him in a tomb. And you'll see me lay people under the water to represent their old life is dying. And then I said, and do you know what happened after 3 days? And he said, no, what? I said, yeah, by the power of God, Jesus came back to life. I said, Robert, where are you from? Where'd you grow up? Here in Garland. Nobody ever told me that. This is like my third time to ever come to church. I'm like, man, you came to the right place. And we went and we walked through and did the morning up here, and I walked through what it meant, and he's sitting here listening, just watching and observing. Then he and Tammy came out here and watched me baptize people that morning, sat under the teaching. I get this text from Robert on December the 9th, 9:12. I'm sitting in my brown chair. David, this is Robert. I want to thank you for your help, your time, and your guidance. Tonight I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. I know I couldn't have and wouldn't have without you. I'm anxious to see where this leads me in my journey. Thank you, and I'll see you Sunday at 9:15. Thanks so much. I texted back, Robert, that's wonderful news. I can't wait to connect with you and talk more about it. Our staff's going to be so excited to hear this news. I'm praying for you, and I'm here to help you take the next steps as you keep learning more and more and living the dream that God has for you. See you Sunday. I followed up with him on Wednesday. We talked about baptism, the next step. He's like, absolutely, man. You taught me all about that. I know what that means. That's the next step, right? I'm like, yeah. So then Robert texts me back on Friday, December the 14th. David, I hope the 23rd is a definite date for my baptism. I've got more than a dozen people that are committed to coming. I don't mind telling you, I'm simply overwhelmed with tearful joy that these people think enough of me to come. In the short time that I'm gone to Arapahoe Road, I've learned so much about myself and what it's like to see good people. I can't thank you enough. I just said, mark it down, December 23rd, it's on. And he followed Christ in baptism, and, you know, he's just been telling people about how Jesus has totally transformed his life, and he's had a breakthrough, and you know who led Robert to Christ? His friend Tammy. Just walked him right through some passages in Romans, made it very clear, and you just stepped into a moment, and God brought you together. And he's been working in your life. You stepped into a divine encounter rather than step out of it. Who's in life group with us this morning? And if Dan and Lori would have just stopped on February of last year and not continued to engage, who knows? We just kept stepping in, and God used all kinds of people. And Robert, thanks for letting me share your story, man. It's awesome that you're here. Would you help me just encourage Robert and Tammy? So here's what I'm asking you to do. Step in with me. Step in with our staff. Step in with our elders. Step in with our deacons. Step in with our leadership team. Do you know that last Sunday, our group that I just mentioned there met on Sunday afternoon, and we followed up with people who had come to Arapahoe Road in 2018, and they left us a little connect card and left their information, and we took a very simple little non-threatening gift to them. You go, how'd you know where they live? They told us where they live. Did they know you were coming? No, but they gave us their information, and we didn't like go in and sit down in their living room. We just went. We knocked on their door, and some people came to their door, and we said, hey, you know, I'm David from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. You visited our church this past year, and with the new year starting, we just wanted to say thanks and let you know that, you know, we'd love for you to come back, and just want to give you a little gift. You know, what's in the gift? It's a little popcorn, individually wrapped popcorn thing. It just says, we just popped by to say we're glad to be your neighbor. And it's just got a little bit of information about the church. And people opened your door. Some people did. Some people didn't. I mean, they weren't home. I don't know. They didn't open the door. Or they were in there going, I don't know who that is, but I ain't opening the door. So you know what we did? We just left it on the door. Some people opened the door and said, hey, what? You came to Arapahoe Road this last year. We'd love to give you a gift and just say, hey, thanks for coming. We'd love for you to come back. Nope. Oh, okay. And some people, we got to say, hey, is there any way that we can be praying for you today? And there was this one mom that said, absolutely there is. And she told us some prayer requests. And so do you know what we did? We prayed. Isn't that crazy? Our staff stopped and prayed for one of the ladies at our staff meeting, and we prayed again on Wednesday. And because we're just crazy enough to believe that God meant what he said. I'm always at work. I too am working. Step into the work. Don't step out of it. And so in February, we've got a team that's working towards some opportunities to just go and follow up. Others who have filled out some connect cards. We just went with a 3-mile radius. Do you know there's 20,000 houses within a 3-mile radius of this church? You know, really? Yeah, go Google Earth it and then start counting. You'll get to about 20 and go, I believe you. But there's partnerships on this campus. You know, Lionheart, they've given us our information. There's about 200 kids over there. About 150 families represented. 75 of them have claimed no church at all. Heart for the Fatherless, we mentioned them earlier. By the way, they're moving their closet from there over to here next Saturday at 9 a.m. if you want a great opportunity to come and serve and maybe make some connections with some people there. 650 families have come onto the campus. Well, what are we going to do? We're just going to be nice, be hospitable. Just make a quick connection. We don't even want to go into their house. We just want to go to their door, knock, say, hey, thanks for coming. Please come back. Is there any way I can pray for you? Please, thank you, amen. Just being nice, just being hospitable, giving God the opportunity to work through us. That's coming in February, March, and April. What about today? Just a second, I'm going to invite you to come. We're going to respond and sing. I'm going to invite our van to come and prepare to just lead us in a couple of songs of worship. They're going to come right now and just begin to get ready. And in just a moment, we're going to stand, and I'm just going to invite, you know, you as a family, just come and just grab one of these little things. You go, who am I going to give it to? I don't know who's crossing your path. Is it a neighbor? Is it a coworker? Is it a vendor that you've just kind of built a rapport with? Some of your heart's beating right now, going, no, don't ask me to do anything. Just let me agree with you. How about a call to action? Breakthrough never happened because you agreed with somebody. Breakthrough happens when you agree and then appropriate what you're agreeing about. Isn't that what the scripture says? If you hear it and don't do it, what are you doing? Blessed are the people who hear and then do. I'm just inviting you to just see what God might do. And this week, give a very simple gift. Just go, hey, I just wanted to invite you to come be a part of our church. Come with me. If they come, say, man, great, thanks. Hey, is there anything I'd be praying for you about? And you know what they may say? No. Or you know what they may say? Yeah. If they say it, now you're obligated. You got something to pray about. You have no idea how God may already be at work in that person's life. Would you just try him? We're not in heaven yet. So do something while you're still here. And let's make it real easy. And if you knock on their door and they're not there, just leave it on their door. That's what some of you are going to do. You're going to wait till they drive off and go, okay. I tried. You bunch of sinners. Just try it. And then tell me your story. You have no idea how God may have been waiting for this moment for you to step in to the work that he's already started.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.